Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. As you listen to radio preachers and television preachers, do you ever wonder if they are reading the same Bible you use? When a preacher implies or actually says he knows when the Lord will return to claim his own, do you wonder if he has ever read the famous Olivet Discourse where Jesus said, "But of that day and that hour no man knows, no, not the angels in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." Mark 13:32. Are these so-called prophecy teachers claiming to know more than the Son of God? When you hear a preacher tell alien sinners that all they have to do to receive the remission of sins is to pray to God, do you wonder if they have ever read the great book of Acts, the Holy Spirit's book of conversions? If praying for forgiveness is all alien sinners have to do, why did Ananias, a heaven-sent gospel preacher, tell Saul of Tarsus, a penitent believer, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord"? Acts 22:16. Recently, I heard a preacher discussing the need for inviting Jesus Christ into our hearts. He defined the Bible heart as that organ that pumps blood through your body, as if that definition might leave some doubt in the minds of his listeners. He said the heart he had in mind was located about 6 inches below the collarbone. Is that what Bible writers meant when they wrote about the heart? The preacher said he was not talking about the mind when he urged people to let Jesus come into their hearts, but about the physical heart. He affirmed that he had known people who were convinced in their minds that God exists and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But their hearts were not in tune with God's will, so they never committed their lives to Jesus Christ. In our lesson today, I do not have time to review all the Bible teaches about the heart, but I do want to examine some biblical passages to learn about the Bible heart. The Greek word translated heart appears 404 times in the New Testament. A careful study of the New Testament passages where the word heart is used should convince anyone who has not already made up his mind that the Bible heart is the mind, not the physical organ that pumps blood through our bodies. But before we look at some of the New Testament passages that use the word heart, I shall read a few verses from the Old Testament. Incidentally, the word heart is used more than 900 times in the Old Testament. I shall confine my reading from the Old Testament to the book of Proverbs. "My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." Proverbs 3:1-3 and 5. Does it make sense to speak of keeping the commandments in your physical heart? How does one write the commandments on the heart, located 6 inches below your collarbone? The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish does not do so. A merry heart makes a wise countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of man who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat. Proverbs 15:7, 13-15, 28 and 32. He who loves pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips the king shall be his friend. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him. Bow down your ear, and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart unto my knowledge. Proverbs 22:11, 15 and 17. Not one of these passages from Proverbs can be twisted to refer to the physical heart. They all speak of the mind. That part of man that behaves foolishly, can be merry, seeks knowledge, and is either pure or impure. That should be so obvious that it does not need further study. But let us review the New Testament's teaching on the heart. According to the New Testament, the heart of man thinks or refuses to think. Some of the Jews accused Jesus of blasphemy because he had healed a man of palsy. Jesus said to the man who had been healed, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think evil in your hearts?" Matthew 9:2-4. After our Lord had been born, the shepherds went in search of him. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The shepherds spread the news about Jesus Christ. The people who heard the report wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Luke 2:16-19. Does anyone actually believe that thinking and pondering take place in the physical heart? We think and ponder and wonder with our minds. Since it is man's heart that thinks and reasons, it is his heart that determines his behavior. The Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons in the name of the Prince of Demons. He responded by showing how utterly ridiculous their charge against him was. Jesus urged the Pharisees, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil things." Matthew 12:24-35. On another occasion, Jesus severely criticized the Pharisees for elevating the traditions of men above the Word of God. He then quoted these words from the Hebrew Scriptures. "Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" Mark 7:6. Later in the same chapter, the Lord's disciples ask him the meaning of what he had said to the Pharisees. He says to them, "Are you also without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enters into man, it cannot defile him? Because it enters not into his heart, but into the belly, and goes out in the draught, purging all meats." Mark 7:17-19. "Is anyone so naive as to believe that we speak good or evil from the organ 6 inches below our collarbone? Is the physical heart the place where understanding originates? When that organ begins to speak, or when food enters into that heart, we are in deep trouble. It is the mind that causes us to do evil or to do good, and that perceives or understands." In harmony with what I have read to you from Matthew and from Mark, it ought to be obvious that our hearts or our minds cause us to sin. Sin is conceived in the mind and then translated into behavior. In his great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say unto you, that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." Matthew 5:27-28. Is the heart that pumps blood throughout your body capable of conceiving of sin or of engaging in it? You do not have to be a Bible scholar or a physiologist to answer that question. Just in case you might miss the answer, Paul provides one for us. He informed the Roman Christians, "Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Romans 1:24-25. Several Bible writers speak of man's heart as being hard. Is he speaking of the physical organ, located just 6 inches below your collarbone? Paul asked the Romans, "Do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance. But after your hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Romans 2:4-6. Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah, "By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive." He made an application of Isaiah's prophecy to the people of his own day. "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Matthew 15:14-15. The Greek word translated waxed gross means thick, fat, stout. If your physical heart becomes hard or becomes fat, you need to see a cardiologist. Otherwise, you will likely meet your Maker in the immediate future. Many other Bible verses give us insight into the functions of the heart, not the physical heart, but the mind. The heart of man is the seat of our doubts. Jesus Christ urged his disciples, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." Mark 11:22-23. The heart can be troubled and fearful. In the book of John, Jesus pled with his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14:1-27. In the synagogue in Christ's hometown, he asked for a scroll of the book of Isaiah. He turned to what we now call Isaiah 61:1-2, and read to the Jewish audience, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Luke 4:18-19. What did Isaiah and Jesus Christ mean by the term brokenhearted? Is it even remotely possible that they were describing some serious physical condition? You know that is not what they meant. Our Lord informed the apostles that he was going to leave them and return to the Father. "But now I go my way to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, Where are you going? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart." John 16:5-6. The Apostle Paul expressed deep concern that his countrymen did not respond favorably to the gospel. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart." Romans 9:1-2. Is it possible that our physical hearts can feel sorrow? Our physical hearts may need attention from a physician, and they do when we have arrhythmia, which involves an aberration in rhythm of the heartbeat in time or force, or tachycardia, which means a relatively rapid heart action, whether physiological, as after exercise, or pathological, or other heart problems. But our hearts, our minds, can be made pure only through obedience to the gospel. In the Beatitudes, Jesus told his disciples, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Matthew 5:8. The Apostle Paul charged his young companion, "Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, with them who call on the Lord with a pure heart." 2 Timothy 2:22. Purity of heart makes sense only if it means the mind, not the physical organ in our chest. Our Lord refuted the Sadducees' error concerning the resurrection of the dead. The Pharisees were thrilled that Christ had put the Sadducees to silence. One of the Pharisees, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment of the law?" Jesus said unto him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." Matthew 22:34-37. Does that not prove what the preacher on the radio was teaching? That is, that the Bible heart is not the mind. As a matter of fact, it does not. Some preachers have interpreted the word mind to mean the intellect, and the word heart to mean the emotions. The expression heart, soul, and mind encompasses the entire human being, loving God with all we are. It cannot mean loving God with the organ that pumps blood through our veins. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul wrote, "For I want you to know of the great conflict I have for you, and for them of Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ." Colossians 2:1-2. "And because we are children of the living God, we can rejoice in the great blessings we have been given. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your hearts shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take from you." John 16:22. The Holy Spirit guided David into predicting the resurrection of our Lord. "Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Acts 2:26-27. If you want Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you must believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Philip the evangelist taught the gospel of Christ to the Ethiopian eunuch, the eunuch wanted to know what hindered him from being baptized. Philip explained God's requirements for valid baptism. "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Acts 8:36-37. Paul emphasized the same truth in his magnificent letter to the Romans. But what does it say? "The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart." That is, the word of faith which we preach. "That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10:8-10. I do not want to be monotonous, but I must ask you, which heart has the Word dwelling in it? The physical heart or the Bible heart, the mind? With which heart do we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? With which heart do we believe unto righteousness? The answers to these questions are so plain, no one should miss them. We receive evidence into our hearts that God exists, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that the Bible is the Word of God. We either reject the evidence because of the hardness of our hearts, or we believe and respond to God's gracious offer of salvation. How truth can be plainer and simpler than that, I cannot imagine. Faith is the very foundation of our hope, but faith alone cannot save. If we could be saved by faith alone, why does the Bible so strongly emphasize the words "do" and "must"? What did the Apostle John mean when he wrote, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does righteousness is born of him"? 1 John 2:29. If we fail to practice righteousness, are we born of him? If we are born of him, even when we fail to practice righteousness, the language in verse 29 has no significance. In fact, it is deceptive. I have just read to you that we must believe in our hearts to have God's approval. But since faith alone does not save, please listen carefully to the following verses from Romans. "Do you not know that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6:16-18. What did Paul mean by the form of doctrine the Romans had obeyed from the heart? He had written earlier in the same chapter, "Do you not know that so many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Romans 6:3-6. When did the Romans become free from sin? They became free from sin when they had obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine. Does that mean the Romans had to be baptized to be forgiven? If it does not mean that, what does the language mean? Baptism was and is the line of demarcation between the old life of sin and the new life in Christ. Once we have obeyed the gospel, Christ will dwell in our hearts by faith. Ephesians 3:17. We can have the peace of God ruling in our hearts. Colossians 3:15. Is it even remotely possible to interpret the word heart in any of these passages I have given you as meaning the heart that pumps the blood through your body, the one located 6 inches below your collarbone? My friends, we thank you for listening today. May our Heavenly Father bless you.